I'm the first of four elders that are going to speak the Christmas messages over the next four Sundays, so I am privileged to bring the Word of God to you. Each and every one of you are very special to God, and just speaking from the elders, they love each and every one of you very much. They pray for you week in and week out, and we just know and want the best for you. And so the first message is, why did Jesus come? You know, I was looking at Black Friday. Remember Black Friday? We just had that just recently. Oh, my goodness gracious. This is really what inspired this message. When I was looking at Black Friday and the news reports were coming in, people fighting, people waiting in line for 4 days now. Maybe next year it'll be 5 days. You know, maybe it'll be six. And then they get in and they wrestle with each other and they're upset. And I was looking at people's attitudes towards that and I said, is that what Christmas is all about? Isn't that what Charlie Brown said to Linus one time? Is Charlie Brown's Christmas still shown on TV? Yeah, okay, good. It was really popular when I was raising my kids. So Charlie Brown lost his way, right? And he asked Linus, what is Christmas all about? And so when I saw Black Friday, I said, wow, that's not what Christmas is all about. And so this morning, we're going to take a walk with Jesus through the scriptures this morning to remind us what Christmas is really all about. So I'd like to welcome all the guests here. Thank you very much, all the guests. Can I see a raise of hands for the guests that we have? Marissa, my daughter's here. Okay? Welcome. Welcome. So I appreciate you all being here and taking the time to be with us to hear the Word of God this morning. I've been an elder probably for a little over 24 months, and I want to thank Daniel for bringing me through that process. Thank you very much. There's a lot to learn. So what do elders do? They teach, and they pray for you every week, and they preach. And we move from, and we make sure, and I talk, and we pray for each other, and that's what elders do. And hopefully we are doing a good job for you. We always look to improve. So I've been at Living Way Church for over 22 years now, and I've raised my four daughters here. And as Daniel mentioned, we live in on the coast in Cardiff by the Sea. But the teaching is so vibrant here and so committed to the Word of God, we just kept coming back, even before the 56 was even built. We went the long way through Del Dios Highway just to get here. And it was worth every single minute of it, and I appreciate that. And so, we love serving. We love serving with a vision. And that's what Jesus brings to us. We serve the people of this world, but with a vision of eternal life. That's what Christmas is all about. And I remember before I was born, I would go to every single positive mental attitude meeting that I could. Right? And what I noticed is when I came, this was before I was born again and received Christ as my Savior, what I noticed is that 5 minutes after this great teaching was happening, I went right back to my old habits. Right? Nothing was changed. My heart was still where it was before. But when Jesus came into my heart, everything changed. That heart of stone was changed to a heart of flesh. And then my eyes were opened to what the world was all about. And a new vision was birthed. And that's what Jesus wants for every person in the whole world. Every person. A new vision. That vision may have been birthed in you maybe years ago, but the world has maybe watered it down. Maybe you've forgotten your vision. Or maybe you want to stir it up. That's what I want to do for you this morning. I want to stir that up. Stir that vision up. This is a hurting world. We don't want any more Black Fridays, right? Cyber Mondays. But as I'm a technology project manager by day, and I guess I'm an elder by night. I don't know. But in technology, I build teams all the time, 3 to 9 months, and I get people from all different backgrounds, and they all want to go their own way, right? You get a bunch of engineers in a room, they all want to do it their way. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. So that long drive from the coast over Del Dios Highway to get to Escondido where I work. Oh, Lord, go before me. Change their hearts. You know what? the Lord does. And they, and many people come up and say, Joe, I'm really glad you built this team. And the teams that I build people that haven't talked with each other for years, right? And so I bring the aroma of Christ wherever I go. And that's a new vision. I build community wherever I go, even if it's just for 3 months or 6 months. But you know what? That's what Jesus wants to do for us. He wants us to build community together. And he wants us to reach out to others so they can change those hearts of rock to hearts of flesh and love others. So why did Jesus leave heaven and come to earth? Why did Jesus come? Well, since I'm an observer of people, I work with a lot of people and a lot of different backgrounds going their own way. But what is the true way? Well, here's a few observations that I've noticed over the years. One, some people stop along the way. So if you can see this picture up here, you see a bicycle. A guy has stopped on the road, and he's looking down this cliff. I think he's really glad he stopped before he kept moving. Yeah. Is that the right way? I think he was smart enough to figure out that this was not the right way, and he had to turn back and go the other way. But where is he going to go next? He doesn't know. Another thing I've noticed about some people make their own way. Now, as you can see, this particular man was pulling the road in his own way. But where is he going? I don't know. He just wanted to do his own thing and go his own way. Another thing I've observed is some people like to hang their own way. So if you can see, this is a tree in Germany, right? And these are tents. And these are cables coming off these branches, and they're having, it's a campsite. And I'm thinking, wow. And the project manager comes out to me and says, wow, are those limbs strong enough to hold that? And then I think, what about the risks involved here? I said, what if a fire breaks out right there? Where are they going to go? Where's their way out, right? So I'm not sure if that's such a great way to go. But it's exciting, right? Another thing I observed about people, some people like to climb up their own way. So if you can see this sheer cliff, have you ever seen this before? My daughter Marissa has seen this on her travels. You have mountain climbers that want to stop for the night, and they stop on a sheer cliff, and they bang in their anchors, they set out their tents, and they sleep overnight right on the side of a mountain. That's amazing. It looks kind of dangerous to me. I don't think that's the way I would want to go. But some people like to do that, you know. Another thing I've observed is some people like to lose their way. As you can see, there's a grinder here. Now, I think you need some classes on safety, I think. But he's grinding a piece of metal, and it's hitting these propane tanks. And I'm thinking he might lose more than his way, if you know what I mean. Well, that doesn't seem like a good way to me anyway. And so another observation I've made is some people like to run away from the way. So if you can see, there's people walking along this way here, along this ocean front here, and a wave is just about to crash over all of these people that are in this wave. And there's a guy in the back, you can hardly see it, but he's actually walking towards the wave. Wow! I don't know. People get kicks on the ways they like to go, right? That doesn't seem like a way that I would want to. But then finally, I notice that some people like to be shown the way. And so here's a sunset from Cardiff by the sea, where I live. So I had to slip that in there. But this is to show that this kind of radiance can be yours through Jesus Christ. In the ups and the downs of life, Jesus is always with you. We have a church here that supports and builds up and counsels. We have classes that we can study the Word of God to be more grounded so that when the troubles of life happen, we know how to deal with them. And yes, we have highs, and we're really, really appreciative of the great things and the blessings that God has for us. But there, we know that there will always be lows too, things that don't go right. You know, and that's where we need to be grounded, because this world is set up to take you away from Jesus Christ. The whole thing is. We want to be anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the local church is all about. That's why we have a Bible college, right? Is to anchor people, raise up leaders for the next generation, and lead people to the way. not man's way. A couple other observations. Man's way versus God's way. A couple of things I have noticed. Man's way thinks one way, and God's way is totally different, right? You might have heard mankind is basically good. Have you heard that? Especially during this political season. Everybody's good, right? Even if you do bad, you're good. But God's way is trust the Lord completely. Do not ever trust yourself. I counsel people at work all the time, non-Christians too. They get mad, they get emotional, they're not going to do that, I don't like my boss, and we're walking out the door. I'm not kidding. It's innumerable. I've chased guys going out the door, and I've grabbed them, and I said, let's talk about this. Let's talk. I said, you're really emotional, you're really upset. Let's make a decision on principle. The principles in God's Word. You're going to walk out of here. This is a provision of God, right? You've been provided a job. You're providing for your family. This is a blessing to you, and you're going to walk away from that? Okay, Joe, I get it. I get what you're talking about now. I said, yeah. So even at work, when people get angry and upset, I intervene. I step in and help them. I said, no, you're not going to make a decision on emotion. You make a decision on God's Word, which is the rock, and it never changes. Right? It never changes. Another thing I've noticed about man's thoughts, if I don't care for myself, no one will. Have you ever heard that one? God's Word says, seek first His kingdom and righteousness, and He will meet all your needs. Seek Him. Okay? Seek Jesus. And He will provide for you. Takes the pressure off a little bit, doesn't it? And in another man's ways is enemies are to be hated. Have you heard that? I'm going to get back at him. I'm going to get revenge, right? Well, that's not what God's Word says. Look what God's Word says. Love and pray for your enemies. Love your enemies? Pray for them? What about the wars going all over the world? We're supposed to pray for them? Yes. Yes. Yes, we are. We pray for them so that God would intervene and set them on the way to Jesus. Right? You know, occasionally I like country music. Does anybody like country music in here? Oh, there's a couple hands. Okay. But not Daniel. Okay, Pastor Daniel. Maybe this one, okay? If it's upbeat and snappy, is it my, okay, it's still not. Well, okay. If you might know June Carter Cash, she had an old song that she wrote generations ago, it seems like. Keep on the sunny side, right? That Christians, when we're born again, we're on the sunny side, right? We're not on the downside. Even when things are going wrong, we still have the sunny side. Listen to some of these words. I love this. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way if we keep on the sunny side of life. And how do we do that?
Yes.
Through Jesus and His Word. That's how we do it. So no matter what's going on, we're on the sunny side. Okay, so why did Jesus come? Let's dive into that. Let's go on a journey with Jesus through the Scriptures. Let's walk with Jesus just for a few minutes this morning, and then we'll see what Jesus has to say about Christmas. Jesus, first of all, came to show the way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. You know those other pictures when people are trying to find their own way? Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I am. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the definition of the way is a route or direction. Jesus is telling us the direction that we, His people, are to take. And then He's going to show us or exhibit or put on display who He is. And that's what we're going to see shortly. All right, why did Jesus come? Jesus came to show us the Messiah. The Messiah. So out of Luke chapter 2, This passage was actually in Charlie Brown's Christmas. And I did a little research on this. There was actually a big fight in the studio where to put this verse in here. It's probably the greatest thing in the whole 1 hour show, right? Yeah. Because it actually explains what Christmas is all about. It's not Black Friday or Cyber Monday. This is what Jesus is all about. So let's read this. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." All people. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." So it says right here, Jesus was born to bring peace. To bring peace to each person on this earth. But I like this passage because, wow, is the Lord a showman or what? Listen to this. He appeared to them, to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. You know what the glory of the Lord is? If you research in the Old Testament, the glory is so bright that you can't even look at the light. No wonder these people were terrified. And then the angel says, "Don't be afraid." Wow! I think I'd still be afraid. But the great thing we want to see is, I bring you good news to all people. It wasn't just for those shepherds. It was for all people, the entire world. I bring you good news, and there is a Messiah. This is the promised Messiah. Let's find out what the Messiah means. Messiah means, it comes from the Hebrew word Mashiach, and means anointed one or chosen one. So the Greek equivalent is the word Christos. So those Greek students that are in here that I taught last year, you know that, right? Okay, Christos. In English, it means Christ. So the name Christ Jesus is the same as Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen one of God to bring good news to the whole world. So in biblical times, anointing someone with oil was a sign that God was consecrating or setting apart that person for a particular role. Thus, an anointed one was someone with a special God-ordained purpose. And Jesus was ordained as the Messiah, the anointed one, to bring the good news to the world of salvation, forgiveness of sins, and eternal life. That is good news. And that was introduced here. And God made a show of it too. Wow, an angel and the glory and terrified and, hey, it's time for you to pay attention. That's really what God was saying. And this was one of over 300 prophecies that Jesus was to fulfill. In the Old Testament, there's over 300 things that Jesus had to fulfill in order to be the Messiah. Jesus had to prove himself, and he started with this scripture right here. If Jesus had missed one of those 300 prophecies, he wouldn't have been the Messiah, the anointed one. But he was. And we could prove it in the scriptures. And it's so exciting to know, to have that confidence in our Savior and Lord, that he proved that he was God as well as man. And the name of Jesus, you ever wondered what Jesus meant? The name of Jesus means this. It means Savior. Because he saves his people from their sins. So Jesus Christ is Savior, the anointed one. Savior, the one set apart for a specific purpose. And that is to bring good news to the world. And to show us the way. We don't want a crooked way. We don't want to stay in a tree. We don't want to stay on the side of a mountain. Right? We don't want to be flooded with flood of a big wave hitting us. Jesus, set apart, the anointed one, to show us the way. Not just us in this room, the whole world. That's a big vision, right? That's huge. So people from their sins, for it saves people. What is sin? You know, what I have discovered in my walks lately is that people don't even know what sin is. So I wanted to include it here. Sin is falling short. It says this in the book of Romans, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So what is falling short of the glory of God? Well, anything that God says don't do and you do, that's falling short. How about the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments is a summary of the glory and the righteousness of God, such as you'll have no gods before me. You'll have no images. You will not misuse my name. Keep the Sabbath. Honor your father and your mother. Don't murder. Don't have adultery. Don't steal. Don't have false testimony. And don't covet your neighbor. So if you look at those Ten Commandments outside of Christ, you're going, I can't keep those. That's right. The Ten Commandments is supposed to show you that you can't keep them because you need a Savior. And that Savior will save you for your sins, forgive you your sins, and not only that, He will give you the Holy Spirit so that you can walk in a righteous way before Him. And one more thing about sin. You know, at one point there was paradise on earth before sin came in. There was. You know, Adam and Eve were walking before the Lord in righteousness, and there was peace and joy. But the Lord said, there's one thing I don't want you to do. I don't want you to eat from that tree over there. You can do anything else in the garden, but I don't want you to do that. And guess what Adam and Eve did? They ate from the very thing that they shouldn't have. And therefore, sin entered the world, and this is the way we must deal with it right now. So in Genesis 3:1, here's where the whole thing started. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the women, did God really say you must not eat from the tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the fruit that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said. For God knows that when you eat, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it and also gave it to her husband who was with her, and her ate it. And that's when sin came in and the fall happened. And so now, when each generation is born, they are born with this sin. And it's a shame. You know, when I get to heaven, Adam and Eve are there. I'm going to ask, Adam, come here. What were you thinking? Really? Why didn't you just obey God and we wouldn't have all of this, right? But you know what? The Lord's not surprised. He knew it was going to happen, and He had a plan of salvation. So here's the result of sin. In Galatians chapter 5, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Wow, that was a great result of disobeying God from Adam and Eve. But, you know, the Lord had a plan. He's going to break this cycle. And here's the solution to sin. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. So when Jesus is applied to your life, this is what it looks like. The results of Jesus, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the way that I want. And it's given to us for free. And our hearts are changed if we just would believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So why did Jesus come? Jesus came to prepare the way. So in our continued walk with Jesus in the book of Luke, John the Baptist was nominated to announce Jesus. This is what it says in Luke. As it is written in the book of the words of the Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. The mountains will be brought low, the prideful, the arrogant will be brought down to the word of God. And then the downtrodden, the depressed, when they receive Christ, they are brought up. This is what it means, and they are put on a straight path of righteousness and a full life. Jesus also came to introduce the way. He introduced himself. In Luke chapter 4, he says this, and he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as he was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found a place where it is written. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He was 30 years old. And this is what Jesus said and read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Now, that sound familiar from all the way back in Luke chapter 2. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It says here, because he has anointed me. Anointing means Messiah. Jesus said, here it is, from the scriptures, I'm fulfilling it. I am the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Jesus also came to show he is God. Right at the same time he was reading this, then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Jesus. He began by saying to them, now listen to this, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What Jesus was saying, I am the Messiah, I am God, both God and man, and I have come to save the world. And boy, that stirred things up. Ooh, there were some learned people at the time who knew the scriptures, and they were saying, Jesus, you're saying you're God. Get out of here, you're blasphemy. But Jesus continued to prove himself. He continued to show people the way, that he was the way. Jesus came to point the way. Luke 14. Thomas said to him, now Thomas was a disciple, and Jesus was constantly teaching his disciples. And Thomas was the one that just couldn't quite get things sometimes. Jesus would say, I don't get it. But Thomas asked him a question. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Right? Jesus has been with the disciples for 3 years, and he's saying, Thomas was saying, I don't know the way. And then Jesus is going, oh my goodness, Thomas. Okay, let's try this one more time. Jesus answered, I am the way. Okay? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you know him and have seen him. So if you know Jesus, you know God. As Pastor Doug is fond of saying, Jesus put a face on God. So we're walking with Jesus to make his face clear and clear and clear. So why did Jesus come? Jesus came to heal. Out of Luke 5, it says, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell down on his face on the ground and begged, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out. Jesus was always reaching out. Always reaching out, never giving up. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man and said, I am willing. He said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus also came to love. In Luke 6 it says, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Boy, is that hard to do. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. Wow. What kind of love is that? That is the love of God. So love is explained and defined in 1 Corinthians. Jesus came to love, but this is what it looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. So when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, we receive His love, and this is what a changed heart looks like. Right? Not the bitterness and the anger that we see in the world, but the love and the joy and the peace that's given to each one who trusts in Christ. It's given to us. Our hearts are changed. We are changed. We're a different person. So that we can really follow the way and the truth and the life. It's not just words. Jesus also came to seek the lost. This is a great, great story here about Zacchaeus. Let's look at it. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, Jesus looked up to him. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Isn't that why Jesus came? These people are upset. Jesus, why are you going to be with a sinner? Well, that's why he came, to seek and to save the lost. Even in Jesus' own people didn't understand yet why Jesus was here. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look here and now. I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus is an example of a transformed life. He was a chief tax collector. He was a Jewish man. He was a tax collector, which was hated because he was extracting taxes from his own people to be sent to the Roman government at that time. But not only that, he was the chief tax collector. That means he was really good at extorting, right? Money from people. He was hated. Yet Jesus sat with him and said, salvation is here today. All right? And Zacchaeus repented. So now, no matter how hard a heart is, God can reach that heart with the Word of God. And that's exciting. Jesus came to pay the price. Out of Luke 22. And Jesus was saying to his disciples, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. One of the prophecies Jesus was to fulfill was to hang on a cross. He would be nailed on the cross to shed his blood, because that is the payment for us. Wow, what a God that we have. In our current state, we deserve to die. But God says, no, I'm sending Jesus Christ, and he's going to sit on that cross, and he's going to nail, and he's going to accept all the sins of the world on that cross, so that he can make the way of salvation, we can have forgiveness of sins, and we can have eternal life. But Jesus had to sit on that cross, be nailed to that cross, to pay the price for us. Wow. That almost makes me weep every time I think about it. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Thank you, Jesus, for showing the way. Thank you, Jesus, for coming from heaven down to us and showing us the way. Another thing is Jesus came to pay the price. Jesus, in Ephesians chapter 1, explains, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And the grace is a free gift. You cannot earn salvation. You just accept it. Jesus has already earned salvation for us. All we do is accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our sins are forgiven. We have eternal life, and he puts us on the straight path, and he plugs us into a local church like here, and we start teaching and learning and building our knowledge so that we can function in this world and be successful. So what is the way to Jesus? We know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that's one thing all mankind has in common. if someone's a CEO or whether someone is playing Chargers football. We're all sinners. Okay, no matter what title you have, we're all sinners. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died on the cross for us to pay the price. The wages for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is how we get there. If you desire with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with you, with your heart, that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. There are many ways after you're saved to become built up. The Lord wants you strong. He doesn't want you wavering. He doesn't want you knocked down by the thoughts of this world that man comes up with. Man comes up with the craziest thoughts, like, what? But when you measure what you hear to the Word of God, you follow the Word of God. That's what it's all about, because God has allowed us to do that by believing in him. We have Berean Bible College, led by Pastor Bobby. Fantastic way to learn the Word of God. We have Bible studies throughout the week, which we call the core groups. And next year, I'm really excited about the classes that we're going to offer on Sunday mornings. So a lot of different ways that we have, that this church provides, to continue to teach the Word of God. Why? To build us up, to be strong, to be leaders in the world. Why? To seek and save the lost. To show them a way. There's so much destruction in the world, from drugs to pot. Oh, it's just absolutely horrible what's going on. They don't have to go down that way. They can get cleaned up and put on the right way through Jesus Christ. And finally, why did Jesus come? Jesus came to give us victory. To give us victory. I love this old hymn. I love listening to it. I love reading it. I wish I had a great voice to sing it to you right now, but I'll wait for Pastor Daniel's voice to do that. Listen to this. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me. He sought me, and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me or I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. So why did Jesus come? He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to forgive sins. He came to give us everlasting life. He came to show us the way and the truth and the life. And you know what, Charlie Brown? That's what Christmas is all about. Yeah. Pastor Daniel?